Hello, I'm Scott Soshman.
I'm Evan Novy Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we...
You hit the desk so hard. Well, we should tell everybody. If we sound differently, if you sound like a soprano for some reason, we're in a different studio next to Steve Lanzone. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thank you.
He was mad because of
his fantasy team. But he said he has... I don't play fantasy. But he said he has the same number of points scored and against as you.
Yeah.
But he's like 2-8 and you're like 8-2.
boo to the who. I'm sorry.
This is why I don't do fantasy.
We're going to explore the big money issues in the world of sports, not what we just talked about a second ago. So let's start off with the Olympics. Calgary said, you know what? It's been real. We're not going to do it.
Well, they've done this before, so it's not like they don't know what they're talking about with the Olympics. Yeah, but the people have voted against making a bid for the Winter Games and have been, again, continuing a trend we're seeing of cities saying this is just not something we're interested in because the cost may be just so prohibitive.
Yeah, this is the 2026 Winter Olympics. Don't forget that, you know, a lot of cities dropped out of the 2022 bidding. They were left with Kazakhstan and Beijing, which eventually won. And for this 2026, we've seen what? Graz in Austria.
I have a friend who has a house in Graz.
There was
a
Swiss city that was also out. Yeah. Turkey, you know, attempted to put a bid together. That didn't work out. They're down now to Milan in Italy and Stockholm in Sweden.
Thank you for that. Those locations.
Neither of those bids seem to be all that viable, at least at this point. There's some skepticism within the Olympic world. As you said, you know, we're in this weird place now where cities don't really want to do this, and it's going to put the IOC in a weird place.
Now, I want to add that the vote was 56-44, 56 against, and it's a non-binding vote, so the city council has to do what they're going to do, but it's pretty much written they're going to follow what the people
want. They announced that this was the end of it, and this is Calgary hosted the Winter Games in 88, right? And it was widely considered to be a huge success for the city. You know, it had become in the wake of that had become kind of the energy capital of Canada. Calgary is kind of the example that the Olympics gives as like this is what can happen when a city that maybe isn't on the map in the way that it wants to or could be gets international recognition for hosting an event of this size. If Calgary is voting against doing this, that is not a great sign for the pitch, the marketing pitch that the IOC gives.
Who was it that partially blamed global warming or climate change for like fewer cities because they're not going to have enough snow? Somebody.
Was that someone in the IOC?
It might have been the IOC, but somebody was like, well, this is one reason why, you know, there's just not enough snow.
It's certainly a part of why the price is getting more expensive. You know, think of $51 billion is what Sochi spent to do the Winter Games a couple of years ago in Russia. That is a price tag that is cost prohibitive for
almost anywhere
so many
else.
Other countries.
Yeah, almost anywhere else.
Sure, yeah. The IOC, to its credit, has worked with host nations. They're trying to bring the cost of both bidding and hosting down, which in my opinion is an imperative if you're going to continue to have a lot of cities vying for this.
Which would be your permanent host city for the Winter Olympics? We're talking about this in the Summer Games, and like LA would be in a rotation. Which would be your permanent Winter Olympics home?
Detroit, baby, because it's cold.
And NASCAR on ice.
By the way, did you see Dan Gilbert sold his Detroit casino for $1 billion?
Yeah.
Okay. That's neither here nor there, but he kept the others, but he sold the Detroit one.
Yeah.
All right. Just wonder, how do you feel about that?
I'm kind of bummed.
All right.
You know, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
I interrupted. It's just another sports business topic that the owner of the Cavaliers is selling one of his casinos for $1 billion.
One thing worth mentioning, again, on the Olympics, LA is hosting the Summer Games in 2028. There was a lot of talk a couple months ago about the possibility of a U.S. bid for 2026. Losing Calgary, I would think, makes that a little more likely. Salt Lake seems to be the front runner there. A little more likely that if these other, you know, the Swedish, the Italian bids aren't up to snuff or don't work their way through, that there may kind of be an emergency contingency plan in the U.S. And that would give, you know, LA 2028 and the USOC would kind of have to negotiate what that all looks like.
Mitt Romney's busy. Dave Checkitz, I don't think he wants to do that these days. I don't know. Maybe Mexico City. You know, Yeah, they have good conditions there, right, Park? How about the segue?
That's a segue. I got to talk about this. Now, as Monday night's game, probably the game, NFL game of the season, the Chiefs and the Rams, they were all set to play at Azteca Stadium, and the field looks like garbage.
Vince Ferragamo against Len Dawson. I can't wait to see it. Evan has no idea who we're talking about.
Nice one, Lenny.
Exactly.
The field started out in October, October 11th. That's when there was a Shakira concert. And the field then was chewed up.
Well, I would imagine with all the gyrating, there would be a chewed up field.
See, man.
What? I'm just saying, it's not like it's the symphony where you're sitting and watching. If you're at a Shakira concert, you're moving around.
Yeah, you are.
In high heels.
I get it.
Well, okay. So this should not be a surprise.
Yeah.
What was after Shakira?
Then you had a soccer game.
That'll do it.
And then you had rain.
That'll do it.
And if you had seen a picture of the field, I mean, it were black spots on the field, dirt. It was a mess. Now, they tried their, you know what, let me backtrack. They tried to make the effort by trying to resod the field, but
now,
it was
too
late.
Why do you think they made that effort, Barr?
Because there's so much money involved. They have blown an opportunity in Mexico City, one, to market the NFL.
Estadio Azteca, I just like to say it.
I like that.
Estadio Azteca.
You say it better than I do.
I know.
Azteca. But the marketing is blown. It's done. The poor people who wanted to see the game in Mexico City, and they weren't getting, like, you know, a dog game. This was the game. This could be the Super Bowl. These two teams.
Yes.
And it just went awry. I think
we know the NFL has significant international plans. This is one of the ways they achieve those goals of gaining popularity outside the U.S. is to put good teams outside of the U.S. border. So it meant a lot to the NFL.
Now, the game is going to be played in Los Angeles. Now, the good thing about it that comes out of this is that they're going to donate some tickets to people affected by the wildfires and some of the fire crew.
It's such a no-brainer. If you have to have a contingency plan. And the NFL smartly makes the two teams playing hold their stadiums open just in case something happens. So that's smart. I was emailing last night with Jim Steig, who's sort of known as the grandfather of the Super Bowl. He was the guy responsible for the Super Bowl becoming the big spectacle that it is. He ran special events at the NFL for decades. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm sure they have cancellation insurance. They'll take a little hit here. Then there's the travel. All in all, he didn't really seem that it was a big deal from a dollars and cents standpoint. But bigger picture, that you're trying to develop fans around the world, that's where they take the hit.
So much attention gets paid to the NFL's efforts in London. I've always felt as though putting a franchise in Mexico City was the more likely first international team that we would see, for a lot of reasons. It's a growing middle class that loves American culture. It is much easier to fly to. The time zone is not so bad. There are a number of reasons why Mexico City makes sense. To what extent do we think an incident like this, which could happen in any city, really, and has happened before in NFL venues, to what extent do we think that this affects NFL's future or plans for Mexico City?
I don't think it does. If you promise the folks next year's game, you go back. If you had a ticket this year, you get a ticket next year. From a fan perspective, I don't think it's a big deal. From a league perspective, perhaps you tweak the contract that the stadium must be vacant for a week prior to the event. And if they still want it, okay, then you can have it. But, I mean, that's what we learn here, that you can't have all these events just prior to the game.
I think I agree with that. And don't forget that, a couple of years ago, the NBA had a game in Mexico City that was also canceled because of smoke in the arena.
Yeah, and I lost money on that because I was playing fantasy sports. I'm like, what happened to the game?
Well,
and
if you lost, imagine what Lanzone would have done. He would have been bankrupted. He's over there shaking his head. I love it.
Now, by the way, you mentioned about this could happen here, and it almost did a few weeks ago. Because a Saturday night game, the Miami Hurricanes were playing on the field right in a deluge of rain. And then the field, I mean, it chewed up the field. And they were worried the next day about the Miami-New York Jets game. But they did get it in condition enough to where they could play I don't know which team showed up, but right. that's another story altogether.
What really forced the hand here, though, is you had some players saying, we're not gonna play.
Oh, yeah.
It's just too dangerous.
I forgot who tweeted it, said, this is not going to work.
Yeah, and obviously, when you get players saying, this is a safety issue, it's very hard for the NFL to win on a safety issue these days. If the player's saying, this is dangerous, and we're just not going to do it, that's when you started to get the feeling that it was inevitable that this game was going to be shifted.
Especially a game of this magnitude, right? As Barr said, this is potentially the matchup of the year in the NFL. It's a potential Super Bowl preview. Pat Mahomes, who might be the most exciting player in football right now. LA is chock full of guys who are, you know, both marketable and exciting. An injury to any one of those people.
LA is chock full of guys who are marketable?
I would think so.
Who are
Todd Gurley?
Okay.
Cooper Kupp.
Jared back.
Goff.
I mean, NFL running back.
Sean McVay, who probably the most marketable
coach
right now.
He may be the most marketable guy on the team.
LA is a fairly flashy, exciting team. Either way, it's not.
You're not going to see Cooper Kupp, though.
No.
He got hurt, right?
He got hurt.
He's out for the year.
He's done for the year.
He's out for the year.
We should play Fantasy Scott. We would know those things.
Even I knew that. I know I put you on a spot there with naming some Rams, but.
Speaking of California, I don't understand.
Where's Colin? Can we insert some California music right here?
California.
Thank you. He says yes.
The Golden State Warriors.
I love this.
They're offering what? Tickets? $100 a month.
$100
right?
monthly pass.
That's
great. My Olive Garden pasta pass. Those who know me know I'm not going. I love my Olive Garden pasta pass. You get unlimited entry to the arena. They're only selling 200 of them, far less than pasta pass. But for $100, you go into the building, but you have no
and
view of
it.
The court.
You go into the building.
You get into the building, but you can't watch the game. You're watching on TV.
Why do I just stay home then?
I'm missing something because I'm sort of trying to gauge through the ether here. Like, will people do this? And
yes.
The answer seems to be yes, they will.
I
cannot fathom for the life of me why anybody would pay to walk in the building unless they kind of think, well, maybe they'll sneak in and be able to watch. I mean, I could see that. Because I know me, if it was me and I was younger, I'd find myself a sight line. I know that. But just to sit in a restaurant or a bar and watch it in the arena, because maybe I hear the crowd erupt and I feel closer to it or something, to me, it's total insanity.
I can answer part of this. I mean, think about how many people go to football games and tailgate and don't have a ticket to the game. And they hang out outside or maybe even after
the
game.
That's free.
Yeah, sure. This is close to free, right? I mean, it's
$100.
$100 a month.
But
you get what, 6 or 7 games in a month, possibly?
But why can't you do this at any restaurant
or bar? You can do this at any restaurant or bar. The point is that at a live sporting event, leading up to and during the event, there is an energy there that people want to be a part of.
Probably more so during the event.
This is not a tremendously expensive cost, especially considering what everything else costs in San Francisco. I wouldn't do it personally, but I totally understand why you can sell, 200 of these? You can sell 200 of these tickets that want to be adjacent to the crowd, want to be there.
Can I have some way a glass partition? I'm out of the bowl, but I can see. I mean, literally, I can't see the game.
I mean, that's a different, sure. This would be a more enticing ticket, I think, if you could see the game. It would also be a much more expensive ticket, I think,
You'd sell those out.
If there are Warriors fans out there that want to pay not the full cost of a ticket, but want to pay less for the ability to go and be near the fans and near the team and part of that energy, I think it's smart. Not every team can do this, right? I can't imagine that, the Utah Jazz are going to be selling out 200 of these things, but
why not? Fans like to be close to the energy.
If there is enough demand for it and the team is good enough, yes, I think this totally makes sense.
Me parece loco.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I listen and
So you're a no.
I'm a no. And I'm not knocking the Warriors at all.
No.
Hey, if it works, go for it.
If there's a demand, why not do it? I get it, man. Evan's probably right here. That's what I'm saying. I said, from what I can tell, the answer is yes. They will have no problem selling these out.
I've always thought that, Jerry Jones and NFL Stadium should have a huge screen outside and they should broadcast the TV. Sure, okay. Yeah. So they should be a huge screen outside. You should broadcast it to everyone who came to tailgate, more people who want to just be around there. You can set up merchandising. The Warriors are going to sell beer and hot dogs and hamburgers and all that to these people.
High margin items.
It gets more people in. Exactly. High margin items. It gets more people into the ecosystem. You know more about them. Those are fans that you could eventually maybe
I think Barr and I get it from the sell side. We just don't get it from the buy side. I just don't.
Can I give one shout out? And it's a sad shout out. I have to.
But all of a sudden, Parr's turning.
No, this is a sad shout.
Wait, NASCAR guy.
Yes, it is.
The NASCAR guy.
Huge. David Pearson. The NASCAR Pearson. Guy died. He's second
Kevin Harvick?
On the all time. No.
What David was his Pearson. Nickname?
Oh, the Silver Fox.
The Silver Fox.
Silver Fox.
Yeah. See?
And he is second on the all time NASCAR list. 105 wins, only second behind Richard Petty at 200. Now, it shows you how far that is.
King Richard.
King Richard.
Thank you.
And he was 83. Man, that man could drive. And for years with the Wood Brothers, he was awesome. So rest in peace, David Pearson. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick and Evan Ovie-White.
We are here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again tomorrow when Scott and Michael speak with Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online, where our podcast is available.